Today we are taking a break from our Hebrew series, and we're going to be diving into one of our Vision Sundays that we have planned for this year. We are covering the four E's that you have seen up on the in the middle there for many years now, and we're going to be on the third one from the bottom. So we've already looked at engage this year, we've looked at empower, and now we're going to take a look at equip. And so Pastor Kurt has asked me to cover this and to encourage the church in what does it mean to be equipped. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 4. We're only going to look at three verses this morning. Three verses, and then I'm going to expand to 20 million verses. But three verses is our primary text. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. And he, speaking of Christ, personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we get started? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your gifts for us. I thank you that you love us. You are a great God. Every breath that we take comes from you. And God, as we breathe in your grace, help us to breathe out your truth. God, as we just focus in on who you are, God, help us to understand all that you've given us in Christ so that we can live it out day by day, that we could be equipped for the mission and the service that you have in mind for us to fulfill. And God, I pray that today we just might grab a hold of your big picture and understand why you've called us to be your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my shows that I enjoy watching lately is a show on the Science Channel called What on Earth? Now, this show is kind of interesting because it's based on satellite footage that they've been just compiling over the years through all the satellites that are taking pictures of the Earth. And they find anomalies. They find things that are on the surface of the Earth that they just don't understand what they are or where they came from, or maybe they've never seen them before because the vantage point is now looking from space. And so I love this show because it kind of teases you with this, like, what is this thing? And it's all zoomed in and you can't really fully understand what it's just weird looking, you know? And the only way you can really start to discover what it is as they begin to zoom out and they begin to understand the context around whatever the image is. Because that's so important, right? When we're zoomed way in, we're focused in on something, and we forget to zoom out and see the context of what it is that we're looking at in order to fully understand it. And so the word equip, while we can zoom in here in Ephesians chapter 4 and we can get kind of a piece of the puzzle of what equipping is all about, why God gave it to us, we also need to zoom back for a second. And so we're going to do that this morning. We're going to zoom back and we're going to look at the big picture. Because I want us to understand, remember the big picture before we zoom in on this piece of the picture called equip. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we're a small group this morning, so you guys can interact with me. I'll throw this out. What is the purpose of the church? Anybody have any ideas? Why did God create the church? What is his plan or purpose for the church? What do you guys think? There's no wrong answers. I won't shoot you down. All right? Any ideas? Yes, Jeff. Very good answer, Jeff. Why don't you come up here and take my place? No, to represent the gospel, right? That's a big piece of it. Absolutely. What else? Encourage each other. That's a big piece of the church, right? We're to be in community in the church. What do you guys think? So basically, to represent Christ on the earth. Very good, JR. Yes, Wes. To love people. Very good, Wes. Very good. Let me just suggest to you guys that the reason the church was created is no different than the reason God created everything. And I'm going to build my case here because I believe the church exists to bring glory to God and to make him known. But that's the reason he's created everything. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." I want you to think about what that's saying. What that's saying is that the reason God created anything, the universe, in the very beginning, when he breathed breath and when he said the words, "Let there be light," the reason he was doing that is to bring glory to himself by making himself known. He was revealing himself, his character. And the Bible tells us that creation proclaims every day who God is. The glory of God is wrapped up in his creation. So not only is creation created to bring glory to God and to make him known, but also, Micah, you want to switch to the next slide? Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him, and what does it say there? For him. That's Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So if you think about that, what God is saying is not only did creation exist to bring me glory, but everything that I've ever made, rulers, you see that? Dominions, authorities, visible, invisible, the things in heaven and the things on earth, they're all designed to bring me glory and to make me known. Then Jesus himself stepped out of heaven, did he not? And he became the incarnation. And J.R. mentioned that, right? He came down and he put on flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, what does it say, Micah? "The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We observed what? His glory. We observed the glory of God. The glory of God came down to make his dwelling among us. You remember the Bible, he says that I am the light of the world. Right? He has come so that we could understand who God was in all of his glory. He was making God known. Again, we see this theme running throughout the Bible, that the reason God purposes things on earth and in the heavens is to make his glory known, to reveal his glory. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says this: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" remember that was at creation, "has shown in our hearts," he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to those who have received Jesus as their Savior, who have been redeemed, and he says that now that light is shining in our hearts. Why? "To give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." Think about that. He has made us little Christ, little Jesus is walking around on this planet to represent him. J.R. said it really well. We now are the light of the world. Do you remember when Jesus even said, "You are the light of the world," Matthew chapter 5. He's passed the torch, so to speak. He went back into heaven. He's preparing a place for us. But in the meantime, we are to be, the church is to be, representing the glory of God, bringing God glory through making him known. That's our job. That's why we should exist. I know that some of you guys think we exist for potlucks. That's just a piece of the enjoyment that we get to have, but that's not why we're here. Some of you think that we exist to play softball. No, that's not it. Right? We're really bad at that many times, and we fail. So that's not our purpose. That's not the ultimate end of why God put us on earth. The ultimate end is to bring him glory through making him known. The church is called, here's some titles of what the church is called in the New Testament. We're called the children of the Father. We're called the bride of the Son. And we're called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you see who we're representing? Do you see that even in our titles and the way that God describes us, we are representing the Holy Trinity? We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We are called the bride of Christ. We are the ones who are the children. We sang about it in one of the songs. We are the children of God. I'm a child of God, right? And that's something that God has placed in us, the responsibility to represent him in this world. And so we went on a journey about 10 years ago. Pastor Kurt became our senior or lead pastor here at Crossroads. And when he did, he took us, meaning the leadership, the elder team, on a journey of discovering once again, what is the purpose of the church? What is the ultimate calling for why we exist? And we ended up coming up with an expression that we were we believed in so deeply that we actually wrote it on the back wall of the church. How many have ever noticed it in the lobby? You guys ever noticed it? What does it say? Yeah? You guys all have it memorized? What does it say on the back wall? What is our purpose? What is our mission? Oh, good job, Wes. That's right. We are passionate followers of Jesus Christ who live by faith, are known by love, and are a voice of hope to this community and world, right? So we really want to be this because we believe that we're bringing glory to God by making him known as we live that calling out. So where do we get that from? Well, we got that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Little background of Thessalonians. Thessalonians was a town, Thessalonica, where Paul had brought the gospel. These people were so hungry for the gospel, they took it and they ran with it. And Paul writes them later and says, wow, you guys have done it well. You guys have really modeled what it means to bring glory to God by representing him well, by making him known well in your community. As a matter of fact, in verse 7 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, as a result of the way, all that you've done, you have become an example to all the believers. You've become an example church. You are a model church. Now, isn't that something great to be called? I think so. I wish the Apostle Paul would come by and say, Crossroads is the model church, right? Because I strive to be what God wants us to be here. So does the other leaders that are a part of this church. And so we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, the reason that they were a model church is because of this. He says this in verse 3. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith, there's your living by faith, your labor of love, there's your being known by love, and your endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They had held on to the hope. They had modeled the hope that is found in Jesus to all who are around them. And so here they are, this church that has become an example to all the other believers in the region. Why? Because they were living out, bringing glory to God, making him known. They were living out their purpose. And how were they living out their purpose? They were living by faith. They were known by love. And they were voices of hope. So that's the model church. Living by faith. Do you think that comes from the Bible anywhere? Let's check out a few passages. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's our calling. God has called us to trust him, to live out each day dependent on him for guidance and direction, and trusting him with everything decision that we make. That's how we're to walk through this life. It's countercultural many times, right? Because the world tells us we got to have a plan, we got to do everything, plan it all out, use our own wisdom many times to figure everything out, and then everything crashes back in, and we wonder why. And God kind of slaps us upside the head and says, you remember me? You're supposed to be trusting me. You're supposed to be depending on me. You're supposed to be walking by faith. And it doesn't mean that you can't have a plan. It means that your plan needs to be amendable if God says it's amendable. Amen? Amen? It means that we need to move when God tells us to move and not just base all of our decisions on our own human wisdom. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, this comes from the book that we're currently studying as a church. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we have to live by faith. The church must live by faith. If we're going to bring glory to God and make him known, the world around us needs to see that we're trusting him day by day, that we're walking out his calling in our lives. Are we known by love? Is love a theme through the New Testament? What do you guys think? Yeah? Matthew 22, verse 36 says this. There was a man who came to Jesus, and he had a question. And this was his question. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. In other words, what Jesus is saying is everything else that's ever been written in the Bible ultimately boils down to this idea of loving God and loving others. But when Jesus came on the scene in John chapter 13, he said these words, I give you a new command. A new command I give you. Love one another. Well, hold on. That isn't a new command. How's that a new command? We just heard what was in the Old Testament. We just heard what Jesus said was the summary, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The summary of all the Old Testament is wrapped up in love God and love others. So why is Jesus saying a new command, I give you, love one another? Because we didn't finish the verse. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. See, Jesus has now lived it out. Jesus has now modeled what love is to look like in action. Jesus hung on a cross. People were abusing him, pulling out his beard, beating him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's love. That kind of forgiveness. Can you imagine? I get angry at my neighbor when he does something that offends me. Like he blew his leaves over onto my grass. I wasn't too happy about that. I was struggling with forgiveness in that moment. I was struggling with neighborly love. Right? God's like, really? I hung on a cross and I forgave the people that were beating me. And you're struggling to forgive this guy with the blower? He just whispers things in your ear sometimes, right? By this, all people will know. Oh, that's our mission. To reveal the glory of God and make him known. So how do we do it? By this, all people will know, verse 35, that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We're called to live by faith, we're called to be known by love, and we're certainly called to be voices of hope. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope. There's your voice of hope. So that you may overflow with this idea of hope. Do people in our world need to feel hope? Hear about hope? Know hope? Surely they do. All is lost without hope. And here we are, the ones who are attached to the God of hope. And we are to be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, this is one of my life verses. Starting at verse 17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is that people in the church? Are we in Christ? I sure hope so. That's what we're called to be first and foremost, is in Christ before we are members of the body of Christ, the church. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. and he has committed the message of reconciliation. He's committed the message of the gospel. He's committed the message of hope to us. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us, and we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the mission of the church. That is the purpose why the church exists. What is the purpose why the church exists? To bring God glory by making him known. We do that when we live by faith, when we're known by love, and when we're voices of hope in this world. Are we not? What do you think Kurt's doing right now? Being comfortable? No, he's not very comfortable. Trust me. I know him. He does not necessarily like foreign food. He doesn't like foreign sleeping arrangements. He'd much rather be with his wife, I'm sure, and be pampered by everything she gives him. As we all would, right? And yet, why is he in Africa? Why did he accept this invitation by other men who recognize his gifts and say, hey, we want you to come on the team? Why? Because he wants to bring glory to God more than anything else by making him known. Amen? Are we committed to that? Are we committed to that? So if God gave us this great purpose and this great mission, what is the strategy for carrying it out? How do we fulfill it? The purpose of bringing glory to God by making him known. How do we do it? That's where these four words come in. And it's found, these four words derive their existence from Matthew chapter 28. The great co meaning teamwork, right? Co isn't self. It's not a self mission. It's a cooperative mission. And the mission is cooperative in a few respects. With God interacting with us, the church, and with the church interacting with itself, one another. We've been given a commission. A mission to do together. Relying on God's power and cooperating in unity with one another, we're to carry it out. So I'm going to read it for you guys in Matthew chapter 28. I think it's on the slide. Mike, are you still awake back there? Verse 16 of Matthew 28. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is after the resurrection. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So if we want to bring glory to God by making him known, if we want to live out by faith, known by love, voices of hope, we have a strategy that's been given to us. And the first part of the strategy is found in verse 19. Flip back to verse 19, Micah. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's engage. That's engage. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the idea that we are immersing them in their identity. Who are they? They are children of the Father. They are the bride of Christ, the bride of the Son, and they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They need to understand that because the world is telling them they're something else. The world is saying where you really get your identity and your purpose and your meaning is through your checkbook or through all the skills or your looks or keeping up with the Jones, whatever it is. That's what the world's lie is telling us. God says, no, the reality is you are my child. We sing about it. The reason we sing about it is to hopefully get it through our heads and our hearts. Right, Nate? Worship people are slow. They have to keep singing like many times before it finally, I'm just kidding. So if you think about it, baptizing them, that's empower, right? When we understand our identity, we're empowered to carry out the mission. We no longer have to worry about the fear and the doubt and all that stuff that creeps in from the enemy whispering in our ear, you're not good. you have nothing to offer. Do they know your past? Do they know all your mistakes? You can say, get thee behind me, Satan, because I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives within me. He empowers me. He indwells me. I rely on him for who I am. Right? We don't have to worry anymore. And then we come to equip, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded. That's equip. We're gonna get there. And the final thing, encourage, is I am with you always. Is that encouraging to know that God is not going to leave us or forsake us? Certainly it's encouraging. So I'm going to quickly wrap up by looking at this Ephesians. So we've zoomed out, now we're zooming back in. We're back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at this piece of teaching them to observe everything I've commanded. How does that work? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Number one, Jesus left a gift for the church. He left a gift. And the gift that Jesus left for us is standing right in front of you. I've tried to tell my wife many times that I'm a gift of God, and she always tells me, well, have them repackage that thing because it came. But seriously, God has given the church certain gifts. And one of the gifts that he's given is leadership. Dawn is a gift of God. Yeah, he's shaking his head, no. But you know what I know about Dawn? His heart is loyal. His heart cares about each one of you guys. His heart wants to you guys to know the truth, to not be deceived. I can talk about Andy, another one of God's gifts. He's over there right now encouraging people to live out their calling in marriage with his wife, Cindy. I can talk about Kurt. I can talk about Jeff in the back. These are men that have been given to this church as gifts from God. They're pastors, teachers, elders. That word is synonymous. Gifts that have been given to God. Why? For the training of the saints in the works of ministry. Another version says, to train the members for service. So why did God give us the gift? Why did God put men in the church that could teach, that could help, you know, instruct you into all things that God wants you to live out? Why? Because he cares about you becoming equipped so that you could serve. Here's the great part. Some people call me a minister. And while that may be true, if I'm the only minister in the church, I'm failing. I am failing because my job is to equip you guys for works of service, for you to be the ministers. The only way the church is going to take off is when the members of the church begin to understand that it's their role to do ministry in the church. It's their role to take on the responsibilities, the giftedness that God's placed in each one of the members and say, hey, I'm going to run with what God's put in me. I'm not just going to sit back in a chair every Sunday and do nothing. That's not why God made you. God has made you to start ministering and serving others. That's the point. So if one pastor or just even a small group of pastors or elders try and do all the work, we're going to either burn out or we're going to reach a capacity, a ceiling, if you will, of how much we can do alone. And that's how big the church is going to be in this community. That's it. Do we want to limit what God can do in this community through Crossroads? Then take ownership of being equipped. Take ownership of being equipped. Training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. How long does this go on? Until we all reach unity. Has that happened yet? No. So it's an ongoing process. In the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. In other words, we are to become little Jesuses. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. Every day I have to wake up and say, God, chip away anything that's not Jesus in me. We should be asking God to do that. We should give him the free rein to make changes in our hearts and in our actions and in our habits, whatever it might be. Give him that opportunity to chip away at parts of you that don't reflect Jesus. Amen? Because we are called to bring glory to God by making him known. It's not about making Matt known. It's about making Jesus known. Sometimes my ego gets in the way. Sometimes my own flesh starts to go, wow, people like what I had to say. That's amazing. Who cares if it's not pointing to God? If it's not pointing to Christ. I want to just end with this illustration. I went on a camping trip when I was 15 years old. It was kind of like a camping hiking trip in Yosemite. And I went with Dave Kaufman. Some of you guys might remember Dave. He is a sheriff, tough dude. He had like an arsenal in the back of his like SUV. That's what I always remember. Like just full-on automatic weapons and stuff. And he'd pull up to the church parking lot and like display them. And I was like, this guy's a bad dude, right? So he's also my Sunday school teacher because Kurt was my youth pastor, and somehow Kurt got Dave to do our Sunday school class. And so we'd go in, we'd be like shaking in our boots because he's like, we know what he's got in his back of his trunk if we were misbehaving. So he invited me on a trip up to Yosemite, and I was like, cool, I want to go with this guy. I'm going to learn from him, you know, I'm going to have fun. And so I show up, and I'm totally ill-equipped for this journey. This dude has like full-on like backpack thing with like nice, you know, rolled bundle of padded, you know, like sleeping bag roll that's just really nice and like, I don't know, the igloo kind. We went during spring break. That was mistake number one, right? And we hiked up Vernal Falls, the Mist Trail, Nevada Falls, and then about 12 miles in, there's this lake way back there, and that's where we camped. So I get all the way in there, and I'm wearing like bad tennis shoes with lame socks, and I'm getting blisters, and I'm like hurting. And I get back there, and we set up camp. I didn't even bring a roll of toilet paper. He had to give me some of that. But the point is we get all the way back in here, and we are spending the night there, and it was freezing. And I didn't have the right sleeping bag. I didn't have the right clothing. And he's like warm as a bug, snug in a rug, right? He's like just all nice and warm. And I'm like, Dave, I'm freezing, you know? And he's like, oh, dude, like, you need some help. I'm like, yeah, you think? I'm like a 15-year-old kid. I don't know what I'm doing out here. And the whole lesson that I learned that day is that it is important before you go on a journey to get equipped. But here's the equally important. The dude who is taking you on the journey should be doing what? Showing me. I'm the rookie, right? I need to be equipped. There was a failure on both sides that day. And I suffered as a result of that failure. Well, let me just suggest that we need to be doing our roles in the church. The leadership of this church, if you're a leader, we need to be equipping. We need to be stepping up, leading e-groups, helping out to get you better equipped as the membership. Amen? And on the flip side, you guys have to be doing what? Joining in, becoming equipped, taking that next step in your journey. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Jeff. Pastor Jeff, will you come up? You're going to talk a little bit about e-groups, the opportunities that we have to respond this morning, because our application this morning is very simple. It's get busy. Get busy getting equipped, or get busy equipping others. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. I'll come down there. Hi, my name is Jeff. I appreciate you guys giving me a second to talk to you, and thank you, Matt, for giving me a minute to talk about e-groups and what's going on with e-groups. E-groups is basically like any small group ministry of any other church, right? Why do we call it e-groups? Because we've prayerfully considered that our job of making disciples who make disciples is going to look a lot like the Matthew 28 commission. And that if you break Matthew 28 into its pieces, you end up with four parts. And you've got the four E's are words that are kind of like distillations that were on Kurt's heart of Matthew 28, engage, empower, equip, encourage. And so the e-groups are basically an outworking of that. What does it look like to engage disciples or new believers or people who don't believe? What does it look like to empower for them to come to understand their identity, fall in love with Jesus? And then what does it look like to then equip, teach them everything that Jesus commanded, and teach them to obey Jesus, and encourage? So I know you guys probably, I didn't hear the message, you probably heard a lot about that just now, but we have these e-groups that are ongoing, and they provide this opportunity for us to go deep and for us to take that depth and take that wide in our love for people and living it out in our relationships and our character. So specifically, we have new e-groups coming up this season. It starts on the 26th. We have e-groups that happen on a Sunday morning, and we have e-groups that are happening during the week. And so in your bulletin, you're used to seeing a few. They've been going on for a long time. The Moms Connect every third Tuesday, and Encore every second Wednesday. You can find out about those easily by asking anybody. Those are familiar. And then there's a men's group that meets on Wednesday night that Andy leads, and that has breaks periodically. So we're on a break right now, and we're starting new stuff on the 26th. So I just wanted you to know about what's available. So, of course, we'd like you to come visit the Get Plugged In booth. We'll try to get online. You can sign up right there or just talk to one of us and find out more about the groups that you're curious about. Okay, so let's go through them. First one, what we got? Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ. This is going to happen on Sunday mornings during the second service. So for those, the people there, we're hoping that they would come to church Sunday morning during the first service and experience this opportunity, and that they would come during the second service and be part of the e-group. So Joe and Maluli and I are going to be leading this e-group. It's called Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ. And there is a video component, and it's a John Piper book. We're going to be looking at what he's wrestled with, but it's also got a workbook, and you're going to be able to go through that during the week. So that one's coming up. You can ask us more about it. Prayer and fellowship group. This one is not hosted here at the church. It's in a home. It's in the Rossman's home, so might as well wave your hand since you're here. So this is an exciting opportunity to kind of experience that closer-knit feel and not be here in this building, but more like in somebody's home. I like that opportunity for you guys. And there is a limit on the space that's available. And so if you want to be a part of that, Jan and Dan are going to be leading through a book that was put together. It's called Pray Like This. And I forget the tagline of the book, but if you go online or visit me back there, we can look it up. Pray Like This, and it looks at the Lord's Prayer. And so that's on Thursday night, 7 to 8:30. Next is the Essentials class. So this one's got the thing about the Essentials class is we have to have enough people signed up for the Essentials class before we actually launch it. And the Essentials class is the opportunity to come together, and you're going to hear from an elder each week to learn about the heartbeat of Crossroads Church and how we're structured, and so that you can take steps towards feeling like you really are more on the inside track of what's going on at Crossroads. So that's going to be most likely during the first service. And led by the elder team. Next is the Art of Marriage, and there's going to be another marriage class this fall, but it's starting later in the season. It's going to start around October 11th, and they're deciding if it's going to be a Monday or Friday. It's to be determined which weeknight, and it's a six-night class for people who are already married, and at least from what I understand. And finally, there's a great opportunity on Wednesday mornings, and this is led by Ben and Matt, and it starts September 5th, and it's for a morning Bible study. And I've wrestled with telling you which book they're going to study first, because I really am excited about the study that they're going to do. And so you're going to have to squeeze that information out of Ben. I'm not going to tell you. So if Ben's interested in letting you know, and he probably is, because, you know, sometimes he's just, you know, too easy on you, but let's see. Wednesday morning, 6:30, And so that's a great opportunity to, as men gather together, as young men too, we're hoping some young men. It's going to be right here in the resource room, so right here at the church on Wednesdays. So those are the details, a little bit of the why. So thank you very much for your time.